Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back. By the way, I prefer spinach over kale, but hey, that's all right. To each their own. All right, chance to talk Titans and more. And our next guest, not one time, not twice, not three times, four-time sports writer of the year. She celebrated for all of 24 hours, now working on one for the thumb. Also Hall of Famer, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Teresa, always a pleasure. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Johnny, and appreciate that very much.
And we exchanged a few text messages earlier today, and you know how much I value you. I appreciate our friendship, and certainly how much I certainly respect all that you've done and over the years that we've known each other. And, you know, that is a tremendous honor. And the thing about what people don't understand, I don't care what kind of awards, they don't want to give it to you another year. They want to be able to have a reason to give it to somebody else. But if you keep at some point, you're just better than, you know, your competition. That's just the way to look at it, because realistically, you know, they do want to give that to somebody else. Spread the love, per se.
Exactly, because it's always better when you can get more people to, you know, to win awards and, you know, and be members, et cetera. But I'll just say this. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it, because I've got two on my shelf over here right now. And, you know, because of COVID, didn't get to pick up my award for 2019. So hopefully, God willing, and, you know, vaccinations willing, I'll be able to pick up not one but two at the end of June in North Carolina at the banquet ceremony. So very much hoping and looking forward to that.
2 years ago, the Titans wanted to go from good to great. Last year, they made it all the way to the AFC Championship game, but the Chiefs did them in. This year, first division win since 2008, hosting a playoff game, but certainly under stranger circumstances, because I don't know about you, there was nothing about that atmosphere on Sunday that felt like a playoff game in the NFL, but not winning the ball game. How do we look at 2020 with regards to what this team was able to accomplish or not accomplish?
Well, they did take some steps forward. I mean, they started 5-0. They showed some grittiness. They were 7-2 in one possession game, and they did win the AFC South. It's just that thanks to COVID, instead of, you know, they wait 12 years to get a home playoff game, and instead of it being packed with Titan fans on their feet, you know, giving them a true home field advantage, in a year where road teams essentially won as much as home teams did, you know, we saw that continue into the postseason, and the Ravens came in with a great defense, and, you know, the Titans offense, you know, unfortunately had a bad day, you know, season low in yards and points, and, you know, at the worst possible time. So, you know, they achieved some goals. The first goal, you know, winning the division. It had been a while, and, you know, maybe in 2021 we'll actually get to see if their success over these last year and a half will result in fans in the stands and their own fans this year. But ultimately they, you know, the big goal for a team that got to the AFC Championship last year was get back there again and try to take that next step to the Super Bowl. And they just couldn't do that. So, you know, and now they're in some very exclusive company. My colleague, Josh Dubo, fed me the stat on Sunday that, you know, there's been like three teams that have blown double-digit leads in the playoffs in back-to-back years. And the Titans and former Houston Oilers are two of the three. You know, the Titans were up 10-0 in the first quarter in Kansas City last year in the AFC Championship game. They were up 10-0 after the first quarter on Sunday, couldn't hold it. And, it was the Houston Oilers did it, you know, three straight years, and one of those years was the 35-3 blown lead in Buffalo. So, it's amazing how things can repeat a little bit. So, but when you look at this roster, Johnny, Taylor won out much of the season. And
right,
with him out, and then they're on their third left tackle in David Quesenberry. No offense to Quesenberry, but, you know, he's third option for a reason. And, you know, Johnny Smith, who was a big target early in the season, you know, suddenly he's being asked to do some different things, and he's not as potent in the pass game. And, you know, Adam Humphries, you know, played seven games this year, and he's still in the concussion protocol. He's a guy that I wouldn't be surprised to see the Titans maybe release him at some point, because with 2 years left on his contract, he's played 19 of 32 games here, you know, since signing that contract 2 years ago. So, Khalif Raymond is the guy who, you know, Ryan Tannehill's last pass was thrown to. And Corey Davis was on the sideline hurt. Ravens defense was kind of, you know, focused heavily on A.J. Brown. He had only three catches in the final three quarters. So, you know, at a certain point, you know, they ran into injuries depleting their numbers, and the Titans played 74 different players this season, Johnny. Of the playoff teams, only the Ravens had more. Everybody ahead of them all did not make the playoffs. So, you know, they managed to get there in a year that was very challenging. They got very little from their rookie class. So you've got to think that 2021 will be better. I mean, shoot, they got to get a pass rusher this year, right?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I've been pointing out all week, we go back to the regular season game and then what we saw on Sunday, people failed to grasp the fact that Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams, two 300-plus pounders there, were not a part of the equation back during the regular season matchup. It was a totally different Ravens defense. But with that said, how much do you, if the Titans had been successful on 4th and 11 against Houston in that regular season game on 4th down, would they have gone for it with 4th and 2 at the Ravens 40 there in that fourth quarter?
Great question. I it's tough to think that there's not a connection, right? Because, you know, having just seen, you know, you go for 4th down a week before and it ends in a sack, you know, you're thinking, okay, I'm trying to at least, you know, get some field position here, although it's, you know, not really some yardage. But, you know, if they had executed that better a week ago, then, yeah, you got to think that a coach that's, raved about their approach being fast, aggressive, physical football would, you know, be aggressive on that fourth down, fourth and two, and yet they punt. So, you know, and punted again, too, later in the, you know, there was a punt after Derrick Henry lost his shoe, you know, about 6 minutes or so left in the third quarter. And then again,
right,
you know, he picks up 8 yards in the fourth quarter, about 10 minutes left. And then they throw twice and incomplete punt. And, you know, at a certain point, you know, Frank Reich is kind of showing the NFL that, you know, if you've got a good offense, and the Titans offense was good this year, you know, fourth in, you know, points and second most, tied for second most in yards. At a certain point, you know, the game is changing. Fourth down is just not always punt. And, you know, one of these sites that breaks things down essentially said, you know, Mike Vrabel had the worst fourth down decision of the weekend. So, you know, worse than even Mike Tomlin. So, you know, at a certain
worst,
point,
by the
know,
way, in playoff history in that situation. Similar situations, we've never seen that before.
You've got to go for it, you know, and that's the thing. If you're going to be aggressive, go for it. And here's the thing, you go for it, you're going to get criticized, but at least you can say, I trusted my offense. And,
I'm trying to win the game.
Absolutely, Johnny. And no offense, but, you know, yes, defense was playing better on Sunday, but Lamar Jackson was getting some steam. You got to roll with your best. And the
right
best for the Titans in 2020 was the offense.
Who was coaching the offense there in that second half, especially that fourth quarter? Was it Mike Vrabel or Arthur Smith? Meaning, were the handcuffs put on and all of a sudden now we're going to just play for a field goal game? It's almost like Jeff Fisher showed up in the second half there as head coach of the Titans.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time coaches tighten up in playoff time when, you know, things
well,
are
I saw
online.
What you did there. That's why you're the fourth, four times sports writer of the year in the state of Tennessee.
But that's the thing. It wouldn't be the first time we've seen a team maybe tighten up. And I will say this, you know, it was a close game. And the idea that, you know, you're going to, you know, when this offense has gotten in trouble over the last couple of years is when they get away from Derrick Henry and just start throwing. But, you know, that's the thing. When you're throwing, you've got to, you know, there just wasn't something, you know, and I'm going to give credit to the Ravens. I mean, the number two scoring defense. You know, that was a top 10 defense. That's
right.
That's the thing that, you know, the Titans didn't have this year is that defense that could go out and lock down. I mean, you know, too often this year when the defense went out there, it's like, you know, pray for a turnover and pray that they can hang on by their fingernails. And too often that just didn't happen. So another reason why a defensive coordinator who's maybe only focused on the defense might be a smart move for Mike Vrabel this offseason. You know, if Shane Bowen is your defensive coordinator, might maybe hire another linebackers coach so that he can only focus on that. So, and give him the title, too. and pay raise anyway. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I mean, one thing we know, Johnny, Arthur Smith's been busy. You know, he interviewed Sunday night with the Jaguars. He interviewed yesterday with the Jets. He's interviewed with the Lions.
And he's going to have five opportunities, and let's see if he's either 0 for 5 or only needs one. Only needs one to say, hey, you're hired.
Well, the Eagles apparently, you know, there's reports that the Eagles want to talk to him as well. So he is a very popular flavor of the month. And, you know, and Titans, you know, talking to them yesterday from Mike Vrabel, Ryan Tannehill, Roger Saffold, they all are happy if he gets that head job because they see a guy who's done it the right way and worked hard, is innovative, and is just a great coach and think he'll be a great coach in the NFL. So, you know, for Titan fans hoping he'll stick around, just the odds don't seem good. There's too many openings this season.
Always a pleasure having you on, and once again, congratulations. Well-deserved honor for you, and, you know, add one for the thumb. Why not? Do me a favor before you go. Let the listeners know again the best ways to keep up with your coverage.
Like my page on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Do both at Therese M. Walker.
And don't forget the site, pro32.ap.org, where Teresa and all the other AP writers across the country that cover the NFL all there as well. But, Teresa, have a great rest of the week. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Sounds good, Johnny. And they can also download the free app, apnews.com, or AP News app.
You got it. Hey, you got it. Thank you.